This morning, Lord, chapter 3, John chapter 3. Let's pray together this morning, Lord. May those words just stir our hearts to active faith that lives out, that seeks to bring justice in this earth. Lord, there's lots of turmoil in our day and time. There's lots of problems. There's lots of division. May your church just be on the front line of bringing reconciliation, of bringing redemption, of loving people, of reaching out and embracing and including people, people that you died for, people that you love, people that you cherish. Lord, we all have been marred by sin. We all have made mistakes. We all have fallen short of the glory of God, but you love us. And it's your love that reconciles. It's your love that brings us to repentance. It's your love that changes us and transforms us. We just love you this morning, Lord. Speak to us through your word, through this time together, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Well, let me ask you a question here this morning. Anybody dared to make a New Year's resolution? Anybody brave enough to admit you made a few New Year's resolutions? You know, that's something I've done over the years at different times. I've kind of changed my perspective on it at some point along the way. But, you know, they say statistics and studies they've done about New Year's resolutions find that less than 10% of New Year's resolutions make it to Valentine's Day. Less than 10%. Tracy and I were at the gym the other night. Man, was it ever crowded. We're like, okay, we'll go back here in a few weeks. It won't be so bad. Here, let me just say this to you this morning. I don't believe we need, you know, resolutions. New Year's resolutions are based on willpower. I don't think we need more willpower. I think we need more of God's power. Amen? You know, we don't need really more resolutions. What we need, I think, first and foremost, is real revival in our hearts. Real revival in our hearts. I firmly believe this. I've been getting this again and again as we've approached the fast and entered the fast. That 2018 can be your best year ever in the Lord if you will seek Him first. I really believe that. I believe God has got some great things in store for you if you will just determine to seek Him first. John 3:30 says this, and I love it. It's the words of John the Baptist. They are profound words, powerful words. I'm going to teach you a verse this morning, a verse that hopefully you can grab onto and keep in your heart and mind as we move forward in these days. John 3:30 says this, very simple, but very powerful. He must increase, but I must decrease. Can we say it all out loud together, everybody together? He must increase, but I must decrease. Here's another version of it, NLT, I think. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Well, I want to talk about the Lord increasing and you and I decreasing a little bit this morning. Really popular topic. He must increase. You know, by the way, let me hit a couple of things real quick, and this is from some of my slides last week. I just got to show you this again. A survey by Gallup and Christianity Today found no factor is more influential in shaping a person's moral and social behavior than regular Bible reading. In fact, today we were going to do Daily Audio Bible and Brian Harden. Here's some resources for your daily time with God. If you haven't etched out time with God yet, you need to do that to start your year. There's some great resources. I shared this with you last week, and I'm happy to say you probably can't see it. It's a little too small to see. I only had 5 friends at this point last week, but this is YouVersion, the one-year Bible. You can accept my invitation. Some of you still haven't accepted it. But we went from 5 last week. I've got 17 friends I'm reading the Bible together with this year. It's pretty awesome. Some of you out there still haven't accepted my request. Please do. And somebody asked, listen, this is kind of fun. Somebody asked this week, you know, I sometimes I hear these things, and it's pretty cool. Somebody said, if I get on this, does that mean Pastor Jeff can see whether or not I'm finishing my Bible reading every day? Yes, it does. And I will be calling you if you don't. Shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. No shame on you. No, I'm kidding. No, I can't see whether or not you're finishing your Bible reading. I can't see that. But we can share together, whether you finish the whole thing or not, we can share together at this little talk it over. When you hit this, it gives you an opportunity to share. And it's just really cool. So why don't you join me? We'll have fun with it. And I've been liking all of your posts. It's been really good. Some of you have had some great things to share. So anyway, well, he must increase. Really, the action step there is prayer. Is prayer. This is just such a perfect time of the year to really re-up our prayer lives. See, when I spend time with God, then he increases in my life. When I spend time with him, he increases. Lots of good things increase. You know, I just came back from a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful cruise with my wife. You're going to hear a lot about it, folks. Please just put up with me, okay? If I tell too many stories and refer to it too often, just go, you know, he's just put up with me, okay? But let me say this. I had such a great time. And one of the things that the cruise reminded me of is there is no substitute for spending time with my lovely wife. Man, did I enjoy time with this incredible woman that God has given me. 30 years we've been together. And I just got to tell you, we're more in love today than ever before. And it's like we've just taken our relationship to a new level. And quite honestly, when we're thinking about it, I don't know that we've ever had a vacation like that without our kids for the 30 years we've been married. So there was something so special about it. Spending time with her is a joy and it's a delight to me. And listen, you don't have to twist my arm to get me to spend time with my wife. In fact, when I heard that our church and our friends were going to bless us with a cruise for our 30th anniversary, do you think in any way, shape, or form I went, well, I'm not so sure I want to spend that much time with my wife? No, absolutely not. I was like, yeah, when can we leave? Let's get on that boat, man. This is going to be awesome. I mean, I love spending time with her. Time with her is amazing and fun and fulfilling and enjoyable and beneficial and relaxing and so much more. I'm telling you. And yet, I got to say this. Time with God is all those things and even more. And even more. I wish I could get us to want to spend time with God like that. I mean, to be honest, you know, time with God just, it brings even more than time with our spouses or time with our family. It really does. In fact, it helps us in all those other areas. You want your time with your spouse to be richer, deeper, more loving, more fulfilling? Spend time with God. You want your time with your kids to have something to bring to them, to their hearts, to have something fresh to say to them, insight to help them, spend time with God. And then that time with them will be even richer. What if I said to you, you know what, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. You get time off tomorrow. Why don't you plan to spend a couple of hours tomorrow with God, reading his word, listening for his voice, hanging out and worshiping with some good worship music? You know, how many of us are honestly going to say, yeah, let's do that. When can we do that? I just kind of want to know, what's it going to take for us to get there? Because for a lot of us, that's not our reaction. For a lot of us, that's not our response. I'll tell you, one of the things I think it's going to take is ruthlessly eliminating hurry from our lives. To even think about having a couple of hours with God seems almost improbable, impossible. How many times do we really sit down and not feel rushed and just get to experience the joy of God's presence? Listen, when we spend time with God, man, he increases. And he increases so many things in our lives. Here's what happens when we spend time with him. Our faith rises. Our vision gets clearer. Our confidence in God increases. Time with God is the connecting point for a successful and blessed year. Literally, this is what will help put you on the trajectory of having a blessed year, is setting aside time with him and making that a habit these first 21 days. He must increase. The result is connecting with God. But I must decrease. And that's a lot of times the rub. That's the place where, quite honestly, we're not willing to make the changes. We're not willing to do what is necessary. The action step in I must decrease is fasting. It's fasting. And the result, quite honestly, is disconnecting from the world. See, fasting, one very simple way to kind of look at it is just pushing away some of the things of this world in order to connect with God. Fasting is pushing away, clearing away some of the things of this world in order to connect with God. I must decrease. The result is disconnecting from the world. This will set the tone for your year. John the Baptist, so profound. In fact, Jesus talks about John as being one of the greatest men who ever lived. Listen, he understood and knew when Jesus walked onto the scene who the greater one was. He understood his role, his position, his posture. He must increase, I must decrease. Powerful stuff. See, I think at the heart of our most of our problems, quite honestly, it's a connection problem. It's a connection problem. We get too connected to the world and we lose connection with God. Let me say that again because that's pretty good and somebody should amen right there. We get too connected to this world and we lose connection with God. Thank you for the three of you that helped me out right there. Appreciate that. See, you know, when you look at the word Jesus fasted. There's no doubt about that. And in fact, the very words of Jesus are, when you fast, when you fast, in his Sermon on the Mount, when you fast, and there's that implication that you're going to fast, that I'm going to fast. There's no doubt that the early followers of Jesus fasted. There's no doubt that Paul fasted. In 2 Corinthians 11:27, Paul says, in fastings often. We know historically the early church fasted often. And yet the church today, 2018, has largely lost sight of this key part of what the true church's heart in seeking God should be. Why is that? I'll tell you, I'll shoot real straight with you. Because it's hard. Because it's costly. Because it's painful. Because it's difficult. I woke up Wednesday morning. I can't even describe to you how I felt Wednesday morning. I was wobbling around. My head felt heavy and light at the same time. I don't even know how to describe that. I felt like I couldn't hardly move. It was the weirdest thing. It was like I hit a fasting wall Wednesday morning. My wife said to me, you know, sometimes when you're fasting, it's detoxing and it feels like the flu. Listen, this past week, I lost 8 pounds. That's a pretty good diet right there, 8 pounds in 1 week. Actually, I lost 8 before the week was out. I'd been feasting and feasting throughout the holidays. And listen, my body, when I stopped, and this has been my best friend over the last couple of weeks, my good old smart water bottle. I had to bring him up here today. He and I are really close right now. Don't you try to get a hold of my smart water bottle. I'll fight you. This is life for me right now. No, actually, the Lord is life for me. It's hard. It's one of those things that's not easy. And I think in so many ways our faith has gotten so soft. Our faith has become so much about us. Christianity has become so much about us. It's become so feel good. You know, I just got to say it again. This church was birthed through prayer and fasting. And it's been built on a foundation of prayer and fasting. And I wouldn't want it to be any other way. God spoke to Tracy and I. We both did. You know, there's several types of fasting, by the way. There's what you might call a complete fast. Complete fast is water only or water with some juice. There's a partial fast where maybe you're fasting a meal or two a day. There's a selective fast where maybe you're giving up some particular things. There's Daniel's fast where you're focusing on fruit and vegetables only. By the way, sometimes I get that question, what kind of fast are you doing, Pastor Jeff? This past week we've done primarily a complete fast, and now I'm transitioning into a bit of a Daniel's fast. So I don't know how you're fasting or what you're fasting, but it's hard, it's sacrificial, it's disconnecting from the world, it's decreasing in yourself, but it's increasing in God. This church came about because of a 21-day fast. God spoke to Tracy and I after fasting a complete fast for 21 days. Soon after we started the church, we led the church into a time of prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is what we do as a church. We're going to keep on doing it, church. I love what my dear friend Greg Diedrich says. He says this, what is built in the flesh must be maintained in the flesh. What is built in the spirit must be maintained in the spirit. You know, I look around sometimes. I walk into this building. I come onto our property, and I've got big dreams and big plans and big ideas and big thoughts. And I'd love things to be a certain way. And, you know, I come in, and sometimes I go, wow, you know, I wish we had this or I wish we had that. We don't have the best lighting system. We don't have the best sound system, whatever it is. And, you know, sometimes you fall into that trap of comparison. But I tell you what, I'd a whole lot rather have a church built on prayer and fasting than built on some of those things. I'd rather have a church built on that foundation. Listen, January can be a depressing time for a lot of folks. It's a tough time of the year. I mean, even getting out today and coming to church, it's tough, you know, with the weather and the changes. January is not a depressing time for me. It's actually an exciting time for me. I get thrilled. I get rejuvenated. I get vision. I get passion. I get stirred by the Lord. I get excited about this time. Before the holidays are even over, I'm starting to look forward to the time of fasting. And listen, it's not because it's easy. It's not easy at all. It's because I know the benefit and the blessing of it. Because I know how God meets me in it. I want to give you a little analogy here this morning. I brought a prop, and one of my buddies over here was asking me about the prop. Oh, he's not in here now. Shoot. He's not going to get to see this. You'll have to tell him, Becky. This boat used to sit on our mantle for several years, and I love boats. Is that? Yeah, okay, we're pretty good. I love boats, and coming off the cruise, you know, it was a cool thing to me. I said to Tracy, I said, we're gonna be living on the ocean for like several days. And that just fascinated me. I thought that was so awesome. Long ago, Tracy and I used to have a boat, and we love boats of every kind, love being on the water. How many of you like boats and water and that kind of thing too? I've never done a whole lot of sailing. I've done a little bit. Would love to do that more, but I had this sailboat, and as I was thinking about an analogy this morning of prayer and fasting and what is achieved and what happens in prayer and fasting, I thought this boat might help us to kind of get a good picture. By the way, just some basic boating terms this morning. How many of you know what the front of the ship is called? The bow. How about the back, if I don't fall down? The aft. Good, good. How about the left side of the boat? The port, and the right side, the starboard. side. Doug told me before we went on the cruise, the first time we'd ever been on a cruise, he said, you are going to get lost on that boat. Doug, I want you to know I successfully fulfilled that more than once. Kept getting lost on that massive boat, but it was awesome. Thank God it didn't fall off it. That wouldn't have been so good. But you know, as you think about boats and you think about prayer and fasting and why we're doing this and what it means, you know, there's lots of different kinds of boats. There's a rowboat. Anybody ever been in a rowboat, like a John boat, no motor, just paddles? You know, remember the old song, row, row, row your boat? You know, a rowboat, you have to do all the work. And it gets pretty tiring. You can get to where you want to go, but, you know, it's all dependent upon you. That's a rowboat. Anybody ever been in a motorboat? We used to have a motorboat, you know, it was pretty cool. It had a Chrysler motor on it, 75 horsepower. And all I had to do was push that throttle, and it took off on its own. I didn't have to do anything. You could kind of be lazy. You could kind of, you know, just sit back, enjoy. It was all powered on its own. But a sailboat's different. A sailboat is really dependent upon the wind. You don't have to do all the work. You have to do some work. There's some really important work, in fact, you have to do if the sailboat is going to operate correctly. Now, this is called the mast, right? And you have to do what's called trimming the sails. In other words, you have to position the sails in the right way to catch the wind. You're absolutely dependent upon the wind. You're looking for the wind, and I love the term windward. That's the way the wind is blowing. And you're looking for that wind, and you're trimming the sails so that the wind fills the sail and lifts the boat. That's what it's called. It gives it lift. It propels it forward. Fasting and prayer is a lot like that. It's trimming the sail so that the wind of the Spirit can get in that sail, fill it, and lift it, and move it forward. And it's a majestic thing when you see a sailboat sailing across the water. At least I think so. Tracy and I went out one of our little explorations. We were in the Dutch country of Curaçao, and we went out jet skiing, and we went into a place called the Spanish Waters. And at first, we did this little tour. We were seeing all these beautiful homes, and at one point, we came around this cove, and here were all these sailboats. It was the perfect day. The wind was just right, and all these sailboats were out on the water. It was just such a pretty thing just to kind of sit there and watch for a little bit as these sailboats were just clipping along, the wind filling their sails. Here's another term for you. I don't know if you've ever seen this before or experienced it, but if you don't have the sail trimmed, then there's another term. It's called luffing. Luffing. Luffing is when that sail's not trimmed, it's not positioned right, the weight's not distributed right, and the wind just starts to flap the sail. Just starts flapping it like this. And the sailboat's really not going anywhere. It's not working efficiently. It's not being lifted. It's not being moved forward. And the helmsman's the one that controls the ship, has to position that sail so that the wind isn't just flapping the sail, but the wind's filling the sail. So that the sail is filled and the whole boat moves forward efficiently, effectively, and achieves lift. This is what I'm doing. I hope this is what you're doing in these days of prayer and fasting. I'm trimming my sails. See, let me share this with you, and this is maybe a different thought for some of you. But one prayer God's never going to answer is the prayer, God, take control. You know, some of us pray that prayer, God, take control of my life. And we expect him all of a sudden to take control, like we're going to be some kind of robot, you know. Oh, God's in control now. Look at me. This is amazing. He's leading me over here to Craig. Wow, I have no control of my own. He's leading me. No, you're going to have to always submit control to him. You're going to always have to position yourself in him. You're going to always have to be listening to him. He's not going to take over. and you're going to become some kind of robot. No, you're going to have to lean in and listen. You're going to have to trim your sails. You're going to have to get ready for the wind of His Spirit to lift you. That's what I'm doing over these 21 days, trimming my sails, getting my weight distributed evenly, losing a little bit along the way too, and getting my boat positioned for His lift. How many of you can say amen to that? So, when we pray and fast, let me give you a few things. Oh, let me give you a couple of illustrations here. We got to disconnect from the world, folks. We got to disconnect from the world. One of the other types of fasting is a media fast. Is a media fast. I'm surprised, in fact, how many people I hear now. And let me say this. There's kind of a two-edged sword here. I hear a lot of people, when we talk about fasting, kind of gravitate toward the media fast now. And let me just say, that's a good thing. It's really a good thing. It's not all that fasting is meant to be. You know, please don't think in these days that if you just give up Facebook for a couple of days, you're really connecting with God. You might want to give up a meal and Facebook. Amen? Let me just show you a couple things here, and maybe you can see this, maybe you can't. Here's an interesting little graphic just talking about Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google, and LinkedIn, and just the immense amount of people who are now apart. 150 million, 313 million, 1.86 billion, 600 million, 375 million, 467 million people using these different types of social media. Look at this one. Percentage of total media time spent on social media. Adults 18 and plus, 25.07 hours a week spent now on media. The average adult. Here's another one. Growth in digital media. Time spent in minutes. This is the growth. It's just going up exponentially. Plus 99%. Plus 26%. Desktop, smartphone, tablet. Listen, if we're going to disconnect from the world, one of the things we're going to have to really pay attention to is this right here. In fact, I don't know if you have noticed, but just before the fast began, I began to hear the talk from Apple execs and Google about addiction. It's starting to hit, it's starting to become a part of the conversation in the public square that people are literally addicted now to smartphones, tablets, media, this kind of thing. It's only going to get worse. It's going to keep growing exponentially. We're going to have to figure out how to balance this. We're going to have to figure out how to disconnect from this. I'd really like to challenge some of you to really pray and think about over these last 2 weeks. We've got two more weeks, guys. We can make the most of these 2 weeks. Even if you haven't joined us this week before, join us these last 2 weeks. Listen, the idea is to spend time with God. Trim your sail. Let the wind of the Spirit lift you. Let me share a few things with you that happens when we fast and pray. When we fast and pray, we realign our lives. We realign our lives. December can be the most indulgent time of the year. We eat too much. We spend too much. And by the time it's all over, I come to a place where I'm like, man, I need a realignment in my life. I need to recalibrate my compass and get it back on true north. We're all prone to wander, and we need definite times to reset our lives. January is a perfect time. Our theme in this fast is Matthew 6:33. Seek first. Everybody say, seek first. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first means above all else. It means making it the priority. If we do this, the Bible says God will take care of the rest. If you give Him your time, your talent, your treasures, you put Him first in everything, He will take care of the rest. When we fast and pray, we go deeper with God. In fact, this is one of the words that the Lord spoke to our team as we were having our prophetic prayer summit a couple of weeks ago. Listen, fasting's not an obligation to fulfill. It's an opportunity to go deeper with God. It's an opportunity, and that opportunity is right there before you. God wants to be close to you. James 4:8 is a powerful verse. Most of you would know the beginning of this verse. I don't know how many of you know the second part of it. It says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. We love that. We sing worship songs about that. It's a great promise. Look at the second part. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. By the way, interesting study. We won't get into it now, but double-minded literally means having two souls or having a disintegrated soul. So it's the word psuche there. It's not just the word mind. It's your soul is divided. Your thoughts, your emotions, your will is divided. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. In other words, when we're realigning, when we're resetting, there's some fresh work we need to do in the presence of God. We've got to disconnect from the world. And sometimes that's going to honestly require repentance. Changing our mind. Come into a place where we freshly acknowledge this doesn't have all the answers. This isn't the key to fulfillment. This isn't going to take the place of true relationship with God or others. This isn't going to do it. Come into that place just freshly seeking the Lord. Listen, I've just been touting this book so much. It's a great book. There's some copies available on the back there, and we're not selling them for a profit, just pretty much what we paid for them back there. Whisper by Mark Batterson, Learning to Hear God's Voice. Some of you really, really benefited from the Circle Maker that he wrote. And let me tell you, this is the addendum to Circle Maker. Circle Maker talked about prayer. This talks about the other part of prayer, listening, having a conversation with God, being sensitive to hearing his voice. You know what? If we set aside some of that 25 hours of media time a week, can you imagine what this next week would look like with God? Can you imagine how you would trim your sails and get lined up for the wind of the Spirit if you gave him that 25 hours? That's what the fast is about. Taking the time when you would prepare food and eat food and saying instead, God, you're my food. My food's to do the will of God like Jesus said. Men, let me just challenge you afresh here today. What about leading your wife in prayer? What about leading your family in prayer? Listen, when we pray and fast, we go deeper with God. Amen, church? And deeper is one of our words for the year. I love these quotes from John Piper. The strongest, most mature Christians I've ever met are the hungriest for God. It might seem that those who eat most would be least hungry, but that's not the way it works with an inexhaustible fountain and an infinite feast and a glorious Lord. When you take your stand on the finished work of God in Christ, begin to drink at the river of life, eat the bread of heaven, and know that you found the end of all your longings. Man, that is what the Lord is, folks. He is an inexhaustible fountain, an infinite feast, and he is a glorious God. If you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it's not because you've drunk deeply and are satisfied. It's because you've nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things and there's no room for the great. When we fast and pray, we engage in spiritual warfare. Man, I had a bout of spiritual warfare last night, in the middle of the night. I had one actually before we went to bed. My wife prayed for me, and then in the middle of the night, I had another battle, and I was just praying. I just felt lies, just trying to penetrate my heart, penetrate my soul, get into my mind, telling me stuff that wasn't true, wasn't based on God's word, didn't deserve even a moment of my thoughts. I had to engage. I had to resist. I had to use the word of God as a weapon against those lies. When we pray and fast, we engage in spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let me just say this. Sometimes, and in fact, I think many times, we try to solve spiritual problems with natural solutions. We try to solve spiritual problems with natural solutions. I've had different friends who've been in the counseling profession. I think sometimes I don't know how they put up with it and how they deal with it, because at the end of the day, I think many times those who are in the profession of counseling, their heart is to do good. They want to help so desperately, but if they don't understand the spiritual roots and the spiritual dynamics and they're only offering the wisdom of man, at the end of the day, I think they're seeing such little results, it's hard to bear with. Some of you have been battling with discouragement or anxiety or fear or anger. Please don't try to solve every problem with a natural solution. We do that a lot of times. We run to the latest medicine. We go on the latest diet. All those things are good. But what about attack? What about the enemy? It's time for the church to rise up. It's time to fight for the freedom that Jesus has proclaimed for us. It's time to fast and pray. And some of us will see freedom in areas that we may have struggled with for years. God bringing a breakthrough. Matthew chapter 17, there's a story of Jesus. He comes upon this father who's brought his son. The son is struggling with a demonic condition, and the disciples have struggled, and they haven't been able to free this boy. And the father comes and says, "Jesus, can you help me? They can't drive it out." And here's Jesus' response, and it's so powerful. He says, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation." What an interesting response to this father's heart cry for his son. But it says something really powerful to us if we'll just stop and look. Faithless, what does that mean? It means we're not connected enough to God. Perverse, let me tell you what that means. We're too connected to the world. And then he goes on in verse 21 and says something powerful. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Can I say to you this morning, there are some strongholds that are not going to be broken in your life until you humble yourself with fasting and prayer and seek the Lord in a deeper, more intense way. Lastly, number four, when we fast and pray, we prepare for what's next. We prepare for what's next. I think there are some assignments, some things that God has for me. And in this season, I'm seeking Him and I'm looking to Him for those next steps. What's your next step in God? What's your next assignment? What is it the Lord has for you that you are to walk out in obedience to Him? See, fasting and prayer is a lot like the preseason if you're a sports fan. It's getting you ready for the season. You're going out and you're going through the drills. You're running the plays. You're getting ready. It's like the dress rehearsal, if you will. Listen, prayer and fasting opens doors and brings opportunities. One of the things that prayer and fasting does is it brings true humility. It brings true humility, and that's so powerful in the kingdom. Pride blocks God, but humility opens doors. C.S. Lewis said it this way: pride has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. Let me say that again if you've never heard that quote from C.S. Lewis. Pride has been the chief cause of misery in every nation and every family since the world began. None of us are exempt from pride. You might not think of yourself as a prideful person, but let me tell you, pride is very subtle and it sneaks in. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 says, "And all of you," listen to these words, "dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." How many of you could use more grace? Me, definitely. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Listen, guys, it's not about perfection. It's about pursuit. Humility is confidence properly placed. Our confidence needs to be in God. We need, through this time, to position ourselves correctly to catch the wind of the Spirit. We don't need to depend on our own strength, our own ability. We need, I think, to depend on God freshly in this season. It's time to be intentional. It's time to line up with Him. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? this morning, 2 Chronicles 16:9. I love this verse. It says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Listen, fasting is not a food thing. Fasting is a heart thing. Fasting is a real practical way to seek first the kingdom of God. Let's be that kind of people that God's eyes set upon and that He strengthens on His behalf. Lord, I pray right now for every person here today. Lord, first of all, I pray for anyone who's sitting here this morning that may not have received You, Jesus, as Lord and Savior of their lives. If you're here today and you've never asked the Lord into your heart, you can do that right now, very simply, just right where you're seated. Say, "Jesus, I need You. I need You to forgive my sins. I need You to come into my life and to be the Lord of my life. Direct my life. Help me." You prayed that, He will answer, He will hear, and He will meet you. For the rest of us, as we're seeking the Lord about this year, let's do what we've got to do in these days. It will affect and influence the whole rest of our year. Lord, I pray that You'd help us. You'd help us to seek first the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord. We want You to increase, and we want to decrease. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. 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 God bless you.